You're listening to KX93.5 FM.
FM. 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the Friendship Show.
Friendship Show.
With your hosts, Dawn Price, Mark Miller, and Scott Hayes. The Friendship Show.
Friendship Show.
Friendship Show.
All right, you're listening to KX93.5 FM, Laguna's only FM radio station. I'm Scott Hayes. This is The Friendship Show. We've got a pretty compelling story to share with you this morning. Let me introduce first my co-hosts, Dawn Price and Mark Miller. Dawn, Mark, how are you guys doing?
Good morning, Scott. Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Mark.
Good morning.
Nice. Do we have any news on Friendship Shelter to share or anything radio business we need to sort of get out of the way?
Well, I hope most of our listeners have joined the station and our members, because tomorrow night is the membership party and the drawing for the, is it a $1,600 package, Mark?
There's all kinds of things in that package. There's a travel adventure, yoga classes, spin classes, a juice cleanse. It's going to be at the Wine Gallery tomorrow from 5 till 8 o'clock.
Good.
Jason Fetty will be there playing live.
The ubiquitous Jason Fetty.
And discounts to everyone with their new snazzy membership card.
Very nice.
And come out for that, for sure.
Okay, great. And I'm assuming the membership drive is going well as far as we know, yes?
That's what I've heard.
Yep.
Yeah.
I believe we have exceeded goals.
All right, very nice. So we're doing a show this morning on bullying and the tragic case of Daniel Mendez from San Clemente High School. This is one song we're going to play before we come back and talk to his parents. The song is titled Walk On by U2, and this was part of a tribute video on behalf of Daniel. And here we go with Walk On by U2.
And love is not the easy thing, the only baggage that you can bring. Love is not the easy thing, the only baggage you can bring is all that you.
You got me.
All right, you're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM radio station. I'm Scott Hayes, and this is The Friendship Show. And in the studio this morning, we have Anna and Danny Mendez. Good morning. How are you both?
Fine, thanks. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Great. Well, if you can, stay close to the mic. I know we've only got one mic between you, but... you know, the reason we're doing this show, one of the reasons we're doing this show, as I mentioned to you on the phone, is I teach part-time and at the college level, and we do an essay assignment on bullying, and we watch the documentary Bully. And this last semester over at Saddleback College, one of the students happened to be in the same school as your son and had talked about it in her essay. And it was just a really compelling essay that she shared in this class. And so that's how I sort of reached out to you to get you involved in this program this morning. So again, thank you for being here. I appreciate it. I guess one of my first questions is, what was Daniel like as a young man? What type of person was he?
Daniel was one of the most amazing people I have ever had the privilege of knowing. He Right. was my son, and he was our pride and joy. He was funny. He was kind. He was engaged. He never, ever showed deep signs of depression.
Right.
He was polite. Daniel was a straight-A student. He was a black belt in Taekwondo. He was taking karate. He played football. Football was his passion. He just lit up the room when he walked in. He was just everything in the world to us. The sun rose and set over that boy.
And he seems like just a well-rounded individual. Mm-hmm. And yet there was something that was going on in his life, I guess starting back to junior high school, mm-hmm. In terms of sort of how his peers were treating him. Mm-hmm. When did you get a sense, or did you ever have a sense, that there was that sort of problem in Daniel's life?
We did have a sense, and that's one of our biggest sources of guilt, mm-hmm. is that we knew about the bullying. Mm-hmm. We ourselves weren't educated about the serious ramifications of bullying. Mm-hmm. We thought he would just get over it because he had so much else going for him that we thought this is just a stage that will pass him by. We first started seeing signs in elementary school, mm-hmm. as early as then, but it really, really took hold when he went to middle school. I always said that middle school really kicked Daniel in the teeth.
Right. And so when you say take hold, did he come home and define for you or describe for you what was happening at school? Is that how you sort of became aware of the situation?
Yes, he was crying. Mm-hmm. He would come home crying in tears.
Right.
And he would tell us that kids were picking on him. Mm-hmm. They were calling him names. A lot of it was socioeconomic and racial in nature.
When you say socioeconomic, what do you mean and racial? What do you mean by that?
Well, he would be called things like wet back, spick, greaser. Mm-hmm. Nobody would care if you died. But I don't want to premise it. It wasn't just the white kids that
right.
called him those names.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Italian and my husband is Mexican. Mm-hmm. So he got it also from the Mexican kids where mm-hmm. they would call him half-breed, mm-hmm. Mexican wannabe. Mm-hmm. You live in that neighborhood. You're not a real Mexican.
Right.
So he was very torn. Mm-hmm. At that age. And it's such a young and innocent age.
It is.
It really started playing a role on his psyche,
right?
Really damaging his psyche emotionally.
And Danny, did as a father, would you offer advice to him in terms of how to deal with the problems at school? And if you did, what sort of advice would you offer?
Well, the thing is, as Anna was saying, it really started to stick its ugly head out in middle school.
Right.
And in middle school, he came to us one day and he said, "They're picking on me. And what do you think?" We said, "Well, maybe you should, report it." Hmm. And he said, "Yes, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to report it. There's a mechanism at school, a procedure you go through to report something." And he did. He did. Went there and took care of it himself, and we were very proud of him for doing that.
Right.
And then what happened is the repercussions from that is then that's when the kids started picking on him even more because they were angry with him for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just got worse.
Right.
And the thing is with Daniel, he was really a very kind-hearted person.
Mm-hmm.
He, even though he was a black belt in mm-hmm. Taekwondo, and he was studying martial arts even at the time. But he never wanted to hurt anybody.
Right.
He just didn't want to fight with people.
Yeah, because based on, you know, the Taekwondo, which is a pretty powerful martial arts, a football player, he didn't sound like the type of kid who would be picked on.
Right.
And so it just it's kind of hard for people to wrap their head around that concept.
Well, and that, Scott, is one of the things that we really try to educate parents on when it comes through our foundation that we started in his memory, the National Association of People Against Bullying, is that there really is no profile. Mm-hmm. People continue to try to profile the kids that will be bullied, and it's not possible. Mm-hmm. Bullying is not a class issue. It affects kids of all races, color, creed, right. national origin, or sexual orientation.
Right.
It affects all of them.
And so in Daniel's case, the problem became much more severe as he entered high school, freshman, sophomore year. And did you have a sense that the problem had escalated?
At that point, Daniel started becoming very quiet about it because, okay. and it wasn't verbal, exclusively. It was also physical bullying. He would get shoved up against lockers. He was being thrown into trash cans. And I stress that only because there's a segment of the population that believes verbal bullying really isn't harassment. Mm-hmm. It can be one of the most damaging psychologically. Daniel was experiencing both. Mm-hmm. But what studies show is that kids in middle school and elementary school, only 30% when they were surveyed believed that there was no system in place that could help them when it came to bullying. When they got to high school, it was over 60%. So the kids, as they grow older, they lose faith in the system.
Right.
And Daniel had told me one day, Mom, you convinced me to report the bullying, and it was the biggest mistake of my life.
This is back in junior high school.
This was back in high school.
Oh, in high school,
yeah. And we sensed things were still happening in high school,
right.
but he did not want us to know about it, and he begged his friends not to tell us about it.
And so the depth of his anguish became much more severe. He was seeing a therapist for a year or two prior to his sophomore year.
Yes.
This was 2009, I believe.
He died in 2009.
Yeah, and he died taking his own life.
Yes.
And he grabbed a gun, walked out, I don't know the story exactly, but walked out to a neighbor's yard.
It was, my husband and I had just left to go to Palm Springs. My mom was with the kids.
Right.
She had just picked Daniel up from school. What we didn't know was that he had had a very bad final altercation that day. Our son's autopsy showed cuts and bruising on his face and body. She
cuts and bruising from?
From the final, the fight that had occurred.
There was a fight at school or someplace nearby?
There was a fight at school.
Gotcha.
He went home. He broke into the gun cabinet, took the gun, got into his car that he had only had a learner's permit, and Daniel never broke any rules.
Right.
He got into his car and drove to a friend's house, parked the car, got out, and shot himself in the middle of the street on a sunny Friday afternoon in beautiful San Clemente.
Wow. Where were you when you heard the news? Did you get a phone call from somebody?
We got a phone call from my mom, who realized he was gone and something was wrong. We had just gotten to the hotel, and he and Danny and I packed up right away and started the long drive back. We called the police, and the police said, just get back right away. We knew there was something they were hiding. They already knew. At that point, he had already died. And I knew, I sensed the moment that he died, it's in my book.
Right.
As a mother, you know when your child has died.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole drive back was excruciating. And when we got back, we learned that
right.
we no longer had a child that was alive.
Had there been any indications at all that he was suicidal? And the reason I asked that is, doing my research, I know that he was seeing a therapist. And I think it was the day or two before he had written an email to his therapist, is that correct?
Yes.
And would you be okay if I read just a small portion of that?
Of course, please.
This is what Daniel wrote in an email to his therapist about the situation. I hate to admit this, but I'm a weak little piece of the S word. I can't fight for the S word. I finally learned to admit it. People talk to me and mess with me because they know I won't do anything about it. I should just kill myself before I have to put up with all the failure that I know is coming for me. Life is too hard for me. I can't do anything, and everybody, including God, laughs at me. When I die, which had better be really effing soon, they should put on my tombstone, "Here lies Dan Mendez. There was never a significant amount of people who gave a blank about me."
Yes.
Wow. You had no indication he had written this email prior to that event?
Well, we did find the email. Daniel wasn't allowed to have his own email address, so we did find it. Uh-huh. The therapist had already replied back to him, and when we called the therapist and asked him about it, the therapist said, "Please don't worry about that. It's very common for kids to talk that way. Yeah. It's not a big deal. And if you tell him you know about it, he'll stop communicating with me via that channel. So rest assured, everything is fine." And in fact, in all of the therapist's notes, it continually states, patient is doing well, excited about the future, not suicidal.
Right. Danny, why your son? Why do you think this bullying became so problematic for him? Football player, black belt in taekwondo. What was it about his personality that didn't allow him the mechanism to cope with the situation?
Well, I think it was just clearly that he was just a very kind-hearted person, and he did not want to fight people.
Right.
I mean, and quite honestly, there were times that, you know, we talked about different things, and, you know, I even told him sometimes, you know, fighting is not the answer. I mean, that's what, you know, I mean, we don't want the kids fighting all the time, right? So, and he was, you know, very focused on that, and just did not want to fight people.
Right.
And I think that if he had, they probably would have left him alone a little bit more. I think he became the easy target. And what was happening to him, too, I think it was not just, you know, one group of boys. And that's what really put him down, is that it was, you know, one group of boys in, you know, that were hanging out, whatever, in a certain spot. And then, you know, he played football as a freshman, and I think that was occurring also on his freshman football team. He loved football. He loved the sport. He could tell you every quarterback and every team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And but then at the end of the freshman year, he said, "I don't want to play football anymore."
Right.
And going into his sophomore year, and so we know there was some of that going on there too. So it was a multiple, you know, incidences that I think that really put him down and made him feel so poorly about himself.
If somebody's listening now who is in a similar situation and they're being bullied at junior high school, in college, male, female, what would be sort of a piece of advice you might offer to these people right now?
The biggest piece of advice that we give mm-hmm. children who are being bullied is talk about it, and don't stop talking about it until someone gets it. Mm-hmm. Martin Luther King said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." Mm-hmm. And that is so true. And that, I believe, is where Daniel really took the downturn, is he became silent about it. It became a silent shame for him. He internalized it, and he brought the anger inward against himself.
Danny, you want to say something to that?
Yes, and I think it's very important, too, that kids talk to their parents. I know it's just like, oh, no, they, you know, parents don't know anything, but,
right.
but that's the furthest thing from the truth. Your parents are your best ally.
Right, of course.
I mean, you need to talk to them about it if something's going on and get help. And I want to also make it clear, you know, that what we said earlier about, you know, that Daniel reported the bullying and it got worse for him. I'm absolutely not saying that people should not report it. I think that is actually the right thing to do. But I think what they need to do is follow up on it. I think in that situation, the school administration did not do their follow up.
Right.
And, you know, had Daniel followed up with us, we could have continued to help him.
Anna, you want to add something to that? And I'm going to let Mark here ask a question.
Yes. And the other piece of advice we have for children is to understand that it's not your fault. If you're being bullied, it's not your fault. They have to understand that. It's similar to a rape victim who's been raped, and they internalize and they say, "It must be my fault." These children have to understand the problem is not with you.
Right.
It's with them.
Very, Very nice, very nice. Mark, you have a question?
Yeah, first of all, I would just say I'm so sort of overwhelmed with the strength in which you carry this message forward, considering your great loss. So I really am very overwhelmed. My question would have to be about reporting. Did you have a relationship with the school or the school district, and was somebody following Daniel as this was happening and checking in with him from the administrative perspective?
Yes. We complained several times at the middle school level, mm-hmm. and they always promised to handle it. And basically, I think they talked to the kids, and that was it, and nothing ever really changed. We also reported it at the high school level. We talked to the principal, we talked to his teachers, and told them, we think our child is being bullied, please keep an eye on him. And they all assured us that really nothing was happening. Why do you think he would be bullied? There's nothing about him that would cause the bullying, but we'll keep an eye out.
Right.
So,
Let's do this. This is a nice segue, because I want to come back, talk briefly about the lawsuit, but then I want to get off that and bring your daughter in and Daniel's best friend and the club they launched over at San Clemente High School, and a little bit about your organization as well, if that's okay with you. The song we're going to play is by Tupac, titled Changes, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this was a song he had posted on his bedroom wall, is that correct?
It was he had a part of that song posted on his bedroom wall about changes.
About changes, so there's some significance in the lyrics to this song that reflect his life at the time?
Yes.
Very nice. Okay, we'll be back. This is KX93.5, and this is Tupac.
Changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a Negro. Pull a trigger, kill a nigga, he's a hero. Get it back to the kids who the hell cares. One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First ship him, don't let him deal with brothers. Give him guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. Two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brothers, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how it's supposed to be. How can the devil take a brother if he's close to me? I let it go back to when we played as kids, but then it changed. That's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Hear me.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
See no changes, all I see is racist faces. Misplaced hate makes disgrace to racist. We under, I wonder what it takes to make this one better place, let's erase the wasted. Take the evil out the people, they'll be acting right. Cause both black and white, and smoke a crack tonight. And the only time we chill is when we kill each other. It takes guilt to be real, time to heal each other. And although it seems evident, we ain't ready to see a black president. It ain't a secret, don't conceal the fact. The penitentiary's packed and it's filled with blacks. But some things will never change. Try to show another way, but staying in the dope game. Now tell me what's a mother to do. Being real don't appeal to the brother in you. You gotta operate the easy way.
I made a G today.
But you made it in a sleazy way. Selling crack to the kids.
I gotta get paid.
But hey, well, that's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Hear me.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
You gotta make a change. It's time for us as a people to start making some changes. Let's change the way we eat, let's change the way we live, and let's change the way we treat each other. You see, the old way wasn't working, so it's on us to do what we gotta do to survive.
and still I see no changes. Can a brother get a little peace? It's war on the streets and a war in the Middle East. Instead of war on poverty, they got a war on drugs so the police can bother me. And I ain't never did a crime I ain't have to do. But now I'm back with the facts, giving it back to you. Don't let them jack you up, back you up, crack you up, and pips back you up. You gotta learn to hold your own. They get jealous when they see you with your mobile phone. But tell the cops I can't touch this. I don't trust this. When they try to rush, I bust this. That's the sound number two. You say it ain't cool. My mama didn't raise no fool. And as long as I stay black, I got a stage strap. And I never get to lay back. Cause I always got to worry about the payback. Some buck that I roughed up way back. Coming back after all these years. Right, tat, 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 tat.
That's the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
You're my brother, you're my sister.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Something will never change.
Okay, that was Changes by Tupac. You're listening to KX 93.5, Laguna's only FM radio station. I'm Scott Hayes. This is the Friendship Show. In the studio today, we have the Mendez family and friend, who I will introduce now, or briefly. Anna, I wanted to ask you a quick question, though. There was eventually a lawsuit that was filed against the district for the death of your son.
Yes.
And I know you're under certain obligations not to really speak in great detail about that. Could you just kind of give us, you know, the one-liner or two-liner that you think sort of works here?
Sure. Right. After our son's death, we felt that the school wasn't acknowledging what had happened, and we finally felt like changes wouldn't be made unless we went through the legal system. So we filed a lawsuit against the district and the bullies, and it was settled out of court.
Okay, thank you for that. The statistics seem to indicate, this is from National Education Association, a child is bullied every 7 minutes. Between 15 and 25% of students are frequent victims of bullying, and 160,000 students skip school each day in order to avoid being bullied. I mean, those numbers are just outrageous. It's almost like a silent epidemic. I mean, bullying has been going on, it seems, forever, but has something about the nature of bullying changed?
You know, I think we're becoming much more aware of it as a society. Yeah. I think there's always been bullying that's been out there, and kids have always taken their lives, and just now we're beginning to make the connection. Dr. Herbert Gravitz, a clinical psychologist, states that the worst part about bullying is the inoculation of shame that it
what does that imparts. Mean? Inoculation
of
shame.
It inoculates shame. It brings shame onto the victim, and the victim becomes quiet. Mm. So it becomes the perfect crime, because the victim doesn't want to tell, and the perpetrators get away with it.
Yeah. Also in the studio this morning, we have Victoria, who is Daniel's sister, right?
Yeah.
Good morning, young lady.
Morning.
And you were in junior high school back in 2009?
Yeah, I was in sixth grade.
In sixth grade. And I asked you outside, and I'll ask you here in the studio, did you have any sense that your brother was experiencing this sort of anguish from the bullying he was receiving at school?
No, I really didn't know anything about the bullying. He was always just really happy and just like funny at home, and just always making jokes and like laughing. And so like when he took his life, I was like completely shocked, because from what I saw, his life was perfect.
Yeah, even in high school, when he entered high school, freshman, sophomore year, you didn't see a change in him that you noticed anything different, right?
No, not really.
Yeah. And then Brendan, can you get on the microphone, my friend? This is Brendan Kim. Do I have that right, Brendan?
Yeah, that's correct.
And you were his best friend?
Yes.
In high school and junior high school?
Yes.
So you guys grew up together?
Basically, yeah.
And did you play football? Did you practice martial arts with him? Any of that?
No. He had his own life. He did those kind of stuff. But we'd be the kind of friends that we'd hang out at school. And then whenever he was done with his, you know, taekwondo or football, we'd hang out and skateboard and just skate till there's no sunlight left.
Yeah. What sort of person was he as a friend, do you think?
A guy that would just always be dependable. He was always there. He'd be the kind of friend that would go to you if you couldn't go to him. Most of the time he'd like to come down more than me go up. And so, yeah, he's just the guy that was always there for you.
So you guys were, would you say you guys were best friends?
Yes.
And did you have any sense that this was going on in his life as his best friend? He may not necessarily come to his parents. He may not necessarily come to his younger sister.
Right.
But sometimes best friends share things that they don't share with others.
Right. Yeah, that's actually how we connected. I was the new kid at school in Bernice Ayer, and he was actually one of the first people that talked to me.
San Clemente High School?
No, actually at Bernice Ayer Middle School.
I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it was around sixth grade. I think I came in second semester. Mm-hmm. You know, the new kid in San Clemente and not really fitting in. I guess we just attracted towards each other.
Right.
And, you know, we went through a lot of stuff together. We were picked on a lot, and then throughout the years, I dealt with it more. I just got over it kind of stuff. I grew out of it.
Well, let me ask you. Let me back up here. You were both picked on?
Yes.
And why were you picked on?
Well, being a 5'6 and 250 pounds, being a pretty big little kid.
Okay, well, let's back up. You're not 5'6 anymore.
No, not
How tall are you now?
About 6'4.
You're about 6'4, so yeah. You probably wouldn't have been bullied if you were been that tall.
No,
yeah.
I wouldn't have.
And so you were both picked on for the sort of being small in stature?
We were small in stature. We didn't fit. We're different races. I'm Korean. He's Mexican and Italian.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't want to bring race into this, but, you know, we don't really fit in as, you know, just a demographic in San Clemente.
Right.
It's just facts. But
and so in high school, did that change or did that get worse?
In high school, for me, it changed a lot. I got taller, you know, for some reason, just being the size that you are, that for some reason that makes a difference. I don't know why, but it does. But for Daniel, he did his football thing. I did wrestling my freshman year, and then I got into lacrosse. And, you know, we did our own things. We still hung out after school. You know, his grandma used to take me home from school before we could drive. Mm-hmm. And we still hung out a lot. But
so what would he share with you about being bullied?
Well, basically what would happen is that he'd ask me, like, is there something wrong with me? Is there a weird way that I talk? Is there a weird way that I walk? And I would just tell him, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And I noticed more and more, like, I remember one time I was walking with him, and I'm not going to say his name, but there's this guy that basically yelled at him, called him some foul names, like, you know, like what you would call someone that's Mexican or not white.
Right.
And I just asked him, dude, what's the deal? Like, he didn't even respond. He just put his head down and kept on walking, and he honestly wouldn't even bring it up. And then I remember, I think it was late freshman year, he talked to me about stuff, and he would never mention anyone's names because, you know, we were best friends. He knew, I honestly didn't care if I had, I know this sounds weird or anything, but a freshman high school, you get hot-headed, your hormones are going, like, I was ready to really hurt somebody. Like, I was really pissed off that my friend was being picked on.
Sure.
And he would never bring up anyone's names. He would just talk to me about it. And honestly, when this happened, everything seemed like it was all better.
Right.
Honestly, like, freshman year was pretty bad. I remember sophomore year, it was getting a lot better. We were going out a lot more with new people, hanging out with new people. And it seemed like all of it was over.
So what do you suppose might have changed? This was May 2009 when he took his life. What do you suppose might have changed around that time that made him take such drastic measures? And did he talk to you about those changes?
Well, I know for a fact about like 3 months before, he did mention somebody that was in his Spanish class that started picking on him. And I thought that was over. But what I honestly had to come to the conclusion of is that as bad as it was starting to get better. He didn't think it would ever go back to how it was before, and he saw a little glimpse of what it was before, and he didn't want to go back to it. Because I just remember the last, honestly, like six months he was alive, life was great. We hung out nonstop. We went out, you know, there was nobody was picking on him, and then all of a sudden this kid just decided to really just be on his tails and just reminded him of what he didn't want.
Mark, do you have a question?
Did you witness bullying?
Yes.
And can you, what was that like, I guess?
Well,
how is it to be a young person and stand in that experience? I would imagine it's sort of terrifying, actually.
Especially in the paradigm of like high school, you know, as Anna was saying before, when you're getting picked on, you almost feel like you deserve it. You almost feel like you've been told something so many times that it's true. Like, you know, Daniel was honestly like, he was a good-looking Mexican, Italian guy, clean cut, great in school, smart. But when you're told enough, oh, look, you're like a gangster, you walk weird, you're dumb, all this kind of stuff, he feels like maybe he is that way. And then when you're told that enough, it becomes reality.
Based on the letter or the email that he sent his therapist, he seemed to be sort of disassociated with groups or social groups, Anna? You're sort of shaking your head yes. That did you experience any sort of disassociation with others from him at all?
Well, you know, we had our tight-knit group of kids. Like, right. You know, there was Jacob, Mitch, Jordan, Jason. We all skateboarded together mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's what we were into. Mm-hmm. And, you know, individually, he'd hang out with us and be great. Even as groups, it'd be great. But there would be once in a while, for some reason, he would just, you know, disappear off. You know, he mm-hmm. would go up into this room, go up into our buddy's house and, like, pass out and just go to sleep.
Right.
Or he just disappeared for a little bit. And I kept on, like, what's going on? He's like, oh, I just wanted to get away for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I honestly feel like he was so not used to being a part of a group. Like mm-hmm. he was so used to being alone for so long that it was unreal and he couldn't handle it.
Right.
Because honestly, like, nope, at our age and stuff, like we don't think as much as he did. Mm-hmm. You know, we're with a group of friends. We're like, oh, this is a great time. We don't think, oh, this is a great time. I hope it never ends. I don't know if this is real or not. Do they really like me? Is this really right. happening? And, you know, that's just how it was.
Where were you when you heard the news that he had taken his own life?
It was unreal. It was my last lacrosse game of the year. You know, it was our final game. I was going home. I was ecstatic. We just poured the Gatorade over our coach and everything. It was an mm-hmm. exciting time.
Right.
And my stepdad picked me up. You know, it was really weird. Like, you know, my dad never picked me up from a lacrosse game before. I'm like, this is really weird. And I thought it was just because my last game. And he's just telling me, he's like, yeah, I'm so happy for you. But there was just something weird, right? Like, mm-hmm. I just felt like something was off. Mm-hmm. We started driving towards my house and there's police cars going everywhere. I'm just like, what's going on? And he's just like telling me, he's like, hey, look, you just got to be prepared what's going to happen. I'm like, what are you talking about? And mm-hmm. then I see Daniel's car. But at this time, before Daniel drove that car down, he had a sticker on his car that had Oakland Raiders sticker on it. And I went over to it. I'm like, that's not his car. I just was in complete denial. The police right. officer says, like, that's his car. I'm mm-hmm. like, that's not his car. There's no sticker on it. There's no way. And when I saw the ambulance and everything, this is unreal. I honestly called his number for about 2 days straight. I kept on leaving messages like, dude, you better be effing with me because right. you better be driving off somewhere like San Francisco or something.
Right.
And, you know, it didn't hit till a couple of days later. But when I found out, it was just nobody's prepared for that.
Anna, let me ask you a question, if I may. And that is, after his suicide, when did you put together that it was a result of bullying?
Within days of Daniel's death, mm-hmm. I think he had only been gone a couple of days, we had a neighbor that came to the house mm-hmm. and brought a girl mm-hmm. that went to school with Daniel. And kids just started coming to our house that soon afterward, telling us he was being bullied. Wow. He died because of bullying. And it was the biggest failure on my part, because when I heard that word bullying, mm-hmm. I had known about it. I had known about it for years, mm-hmm. and I felt like it had still been there present right up until the very end, mm-hmm. and I had not handled it.
Right.
So the kids knew about it, and they started telling us within days of his death.
Okay. Brendan, as a result of this, you started or launched a club at the high school?
Yes. What happened was there was a group of us. It was Lizzie, Jacob, Mitch, Jason. I'm sorry if I forget names, but
that's okay.
We went to the principal's office. You know, we started a club, but I want to really
titled Cool to Be Kind.
Yes, or? Cool to Be Kind. It's okay. C to be K. What I wanted to talk about is just like how hard it was to start,
mm-hmm.
because it shouldn't have been. You know what I mean? Like something drastic like this happens. You know, right. we're trying to do something to help our peers, help, you know, really be there for the families that were affected by this and show that we actually care.
Right.
And I hate to say this, but honestly, it was very hard to start.
I'm sure.
The school system, not the school system, but the school in general, you know, I don't mean to be poking fingers or anything, but
that's okay.
they were trying to cover it up. I'm sorry for saying this, but...
Cover up the idea that you're launching a club?
To cover up the whole incident.
The whole bullying concept and et cetera.
The whole bullying concept, yeah. Daniel killing himself.
Right.
Everything. It right. came to the point where it was so ridiculous where it almost seemed like they didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a couple days later, the Mendezes received a letter with the wrong name on it. Was a condolence letter, and mm-hmm. it was a form letter mm-hmm. with the wrong name on it.
Wow.
And it's just like, are you kidding me? One of your students that, you know, our parents really trust you to take care of us through most of the day, 8 hours of the day, you can't even
get the name right. So yeah. you launched the club,
we
Cool
launched
to
the
Be
club.
Kind.
Yeah, we launched the club after a lot of work, even trying to get up. Even with the events, it was a struggle.
Right.
What kind of roadblocks were they putting up for you? How did that
It was it was laughable. It was to the point where the principal and you know, the ASB coordinator would tell us, "Oh, we're halfway into the second, or what's it called, we're halfway into semester or something. Club rush is over. You can't start that." It's like, so what you're saying?
Are we now in the fall of 2009 when you're doing?
It was this? Right after this May, so like, oh, okay. So yeah. It's just, I know it's around the end of the year, but are you kidding me?
But
we can't
still
start something.
Extraordinary circumstances.
Yeah,
I think
extraordinary circumstances, and like. I just remember so clearly, I walked in, like, you know, principal finally gave us, here's the form, let's see if this person will do it. And we went in, she wouldn't even look us in the eye. She's like, nope, can't do it.
Right.
And
so Cool to Be Kind, what does it do? What's its organizational goals, platforms? What's the purpose?
The biggest thing here is just to show, like, an open door policy. I know, like, you know, show awareness and everything.
Right.
Be like, you know, really feel like you're not alone, because everybody's been picked on. I don't care if you're 18 Sally or like 85 grandpa,
right.
You remember the people that picked on you when you were little,
right?
It's just how it is. But a lot of people think that they were alone in it, you know. Everyone's mm-hmm. just like, you know, I don't want to talk about all that kind of stuff. But the what we established is, hey guys, look, it's not okay for you to be picked on. Mm-hmm. We can hang out. Like, there are people out there that want to be there for you, that actually enjoy your company,
right?
And we've established that in San Clemente. You know, we have Cool to Be Kind. It's been there for what now, five years now?
Right.
And, you know, it was a rough start, obviously, with everything going on, and a lot of us didn't know what we were doing. Mm-hmm. We were handed a baton of extraordinary, really, responsibilities,
yeah.
And we're at a young age. But now it's just, we understand that, look, guys, there are other people that are going through what you're going through,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's happening to you isn't okay, but it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
So...
Excuse me, Victoria, you've sort of carried the torch.
Yes.
On the club. You're a junior over at San Clemente High School.
Yes.
And president now of the club.
Yes, I took over my sophomore year.
What would you say are the goals for 2014 in relationship to the club itself?
Well, our goals are that, every year we have Blue Ribbon Week, which is, it's like a national anti-bullying week. And, during Blue Ribbon Week, we go and we outreach to local, like, middle schools and elementary schools. And so, like, we'll go to those middle and elementary schools and, like, put on assemblies for them and teach them, like, this is what bullying is and, like, this is why it's not okay. And if you're being bullied, then, like, and we just talk to them about it. And I think that really has a big impact on them, because mm-hmm. they are hearing it from high schoolers and not just, I don't know, like, one of their teachers or...
Do you perceive a change?
Yes, I do. I think the whole goal of Cool to Be Kind has been to change the culture of our high school and just other schools really across America to be a place where bullying is never tolerated and it's not excused. And I think just by, like, our peer outreach and talking to people about what you should do when you see bullying, we specifically say, like, if you see bullying... you should step in and say, like, hey, that's not okay. Like, why are you doing that? Because when you do that, the bully is seeing that what they're doing isn't making them look cool. It's not making them look better. It's actually making them look worse. So they're not going to continue.
And do kids actually do that? Because I think that's phenomenal for, you know, for another young person to stand up and say, hey, you can't behave that way here.
Yeah, I've definitely, I've never witnessed someone actually doing that, but people have told me, like, oh yeah, because of your club, like, that's what I've been doing, and I've been looking out for other people. And
do you find participating on this level cathartic or therapeutic, that it helps you grieve your brother's passing?
Yeah, it's definitely, like, very healing to be able to turn it into something positive and help other people.
Yeah. Anna, is it enough? Is there enough being done at high schools, junior high schools across the country to help deal with this sort of issue? Because I just read you the statistics, and they're overwhelming.
No, it's not enough. Mm-hmm. It's gotten a lot better. Awareness has really increased,
mm-hmm.
but it's absolutely not enough, and we still have a lot of the misconceptions out there that we need to overcome.
Yeah.
Have you seen programs or solutions in your time in this sort of starting this organization and starting the organization at the high school that you think are particularly effective that more schools should adopt or more communities should adopt?
Yes. Well, that's one thing that we tried to put together an organization in the National Association of People Against Bullying that might have helped our child stay alive had it been around when he was alive. And one of the things that we do is get personally involved in the actual issue. It's not just about education, it's about personal involvement. So I will advocate on behalf of a bullied child or their family. I've gotten involved at the school level, at the district level, for families all across the country, as well as offering the support and the free services.
You know, you've really taken a major step in getting the word out. You've written a book. Do you want to talk a little bit? The title of the book is, Anna?
The title of the book is If These Halls Could Talk, The Daniel Mendez Story.
And talk to me about the process of writing this. I got to believe that on one hand, maybe it was therapeutic or cathartic for you, but on the other hand, I can't imagine sort of what you had to go through to put this on paper.
I started writing it a year after Daniel died, and it was just published last year. Mm-hmm. It was a heart-wrenching process, yeah. But at the same time, I knew within days of my son's death, I knew that one day the whole story would have to be told.
Yeah.
And so it has been very healing for me that it's finally out there.
Do you offer up recommendations in the book? Do you make suggestions to individuals or school districts or administrators in terms of how they might be able to better handle the situation?
Well, we do. It's a narrative. It's a story form. Mm-hmm. But I, at conferences and seminars that I've been speaking at, I've had people in the audience say, Mrs. Mendez, I've read your book, and I now have a solution. And I, after reading the book, I knew what I needed to do for my child.
Right.
And that's very validating.
Yeah. On the phone, are we ready to go? On the phone, we have Dr. Wong. She's an assistant professor at the University of California, Riverside, who's co-authored a journal article titled The Critical Role of School Climate in Effective Bullying Prevention. This seems like appropriate time. Dr. Wong, are you listening?
Yes, yes.
Excellent.
Thank you for having me, Scott.
Well, thank you for calling in. I do appreciate it. You know, we've been talking to the Mendez family about this concept of bullying. Their son, Daniel, took his own life as a result of the experiences he went through at San Clemente High School. You know, you make some comments, I know, in your article, one being that schools need to understand the, I think you call it, positive school climate.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you mean by that? And how do you suggest schools deal with programs that can effectively help students who are suffering from being bullied?
Yeah. First of all, I want to say I'm really sorry about your loss. Mm. And for my study that regarding positive school climate, we define it as positive relationships among students and the teachers. For example, students feel that teachers care about them. The rules at school are fair, and the students at school are friendly and nice towards each other. And also, there is a negative attitude towards inappropriate behavior, such as bullying at school.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Wong, that sounds wonderful, and it mm-hmm. seems more difficult than just, you know, be nice to people. Are there effective programs that are working across the country? Are there effective approaches that high school students or junior high school students can take to deal with this problem?
Yes, definitely. There are some evidence-based programs out there. But first of all, I will say that in order to solve the bullying problem, school needs to have a better idea of the problem. So they need to do some kind of assessment to figure out how problematic it is,
mm-hmm.
What type of bullying is more prevalent, where did it happen, what's the reason behind it, and what's their school climate look like? So if the kids feel that their teachers care about them, they feel the school rules are safe, how the schools use discipline methods, like how the students perceive it,
yeah.
All those things are going to put into play.
Are there any studies to indicate that the schools are actually conducting these sort of assessment surveys? Do we know that the schools are implementing assessment surveys to determine the climate at their campuses? Or is this...
There are definitely schools using that. There are definitely schools using measures and to use those data to guide their practice.
Very nice.
Yeah. Do you want me to give you some examples of them?
Sure.
The programs? Yeah, definitely. Like, there are good programs there. Bullying prevention program, the positive behavior support has a program, and the bully buster program has found to be effective. Uh-huh. Second steps, which is made by the committee for children, they have a second step as well as steps to respect. bullying proofing your schools, there are some good school wide programs out there. The schools, it's like a curriculum that school can use and to teach, to evaluate bullying first, to teach kids appropriate social skills, appropriate skills to deal with bullying type of problems.
Excellent.
Then teachers, school also need to reward those problems, behaviors. So they teach kids skills, they need to reward good behavior, positive behavior, and they need to have a consequence for negative behavior.
So reward good behavior and consequences for bad behavior. Anna, you're shaking your head. Yes. I know you launched an organization, National Association of People Against Bullying. Can you talk to me a little bit about sort of this association and sort of your goals for this? And by the way, Dr. Wong, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
Yes, the association's website is napab.org, napab.org, for anybody that needs our help. And it's a nonprofit, so it's our services are free of charge. And one of the things that we are lobbying for, as well as Cool to Be Kind, is lobbying for are changes in legislation. It's very simple, Scott. Mm-hmm. Basically, kids today need the same rights of protection on the school grounds that adults have in the workplace. If you're an adult and you go to work and you get accosted, or you get beaten up, or you get thrown in a trash can, or you're called some racial slur, there's repercussions.
Yeah.
That occur. Kids today don't have those protections, and that's all we're asking. We get all wrapped up in the definition of bullying and should it consider intent or no. We have those definitions in the workplace. Yep. Let's give our kids the same protection.
Well, that's an excellent point, actually. And have you reached out to any of your local senators or...
We have.
And what's the response you're getting, and what's the progress?
Well, the senators, we've reached out to a couple of the senators last year, and we're planning a big legislative push this year. That's going to be one of the goals of Cool to Be Kind, to change legislation. Many people say legislation, there's enough legislation on the books, yet what we went to court, our attorneys were saying, we have nothing to enforce.
Right.
There are no laws that really require that schools take action against it. And because the bullies are minors, they have even more protection than an adult in the workplace.
Did the community of San Clemente come to your support? And I don't know if you have faith or not, but I was curious if faith helped through the healing process.
We do, and Daniel as well. Daniel, we are all very religious and God-fearing people.
Right.
And Daniel had just celebrated his confirmation in Christ 1 month before he died. Mm. So absolutely, I'm not sure how people that don't believe in a higher being get through a tragedy like we've gotten through. We have to believe that there's a higher purpose.
Right. And did the community come to your support? Did you find that San Clemente was behind
it's
you?
It's interesting. A ton of people reached out to us. The only reason why we were able to do what we did and put together our foundation and even filed the lawsuit was because there were so many parents that came to us and said, we have to do this. And we know you're not strong, but we'll be there to prop you up and help you along the way.
Yeah. Danny, to the fathers who are listening, whose sons or daughters may be going through similar experiences, what advice would you offer them to help their children through this?
Well, I think the most important thing is communication. I mean, you have to reach out to your kids. You have to be observant. I mean, when the day that Daniel died, there was something going on there that morning that we could tell. And you sort of have to read between the lines. If something doesn't seem right or your kids are acting a little bit out of the ordinary, there's a reason behind it. And you kind of have to dig sometimes to get to those reasons. And you have to ask them, sit down, tell me what's going on.
What might you have done differently, knowing what you know today, if you had known it earlier in the process? What might you have done differently?
Oh, gosh, there's just so many things as parents that, that
you kind of reevaluate
back
reassess.
And that you could have done differently.
If I can say, we could have taken bullying more seriously. And one of, you know, the differences between a father and a mother, and I think Danny will tell you this as well, is that he was much more about leave him alone, he'll handle it himself, he's a big boy. I was the one that wanted to protect him and shelter him for all that. So I think one of the things that Danny regrets is that he didn't get involved in a much more forceful way.
I'm wondering if that's oftentimes the difference between mothers and fathers as well, because
absolutely
most
is.
Fathers would react, I think, in similar situations, and mothers probably the same thing. We're down to about the last minute, 2 minutes here. Brendan, let me ask you a question. Did you get any sense, did Daniel talk to you about the incident that occurred on the day that he took his life?
No, he told me that he was... beforehand he talked about the kid, and you know, he was just over it, and that's the last time I talked to him. Last thing I talked to Daniel, we were walking by to class, you know, we didn't go to the same class, but we walked past each other. He asked me if I wanted to go to the beach that weekend. That's what's really insane. Like, it was just a click of a button, and it was, he was gone.
Something clicked in him. Did the incident ever come out? Was there a fight that we know about? There was a fight between him and another student. I see. And do you think this had something to do with that click mechanism?
It's exactly what happened.
Can I ask?
Yeah, please. We got 2 minutes.
What are you doing now? You're through high school. What's going on in your life?
I'm a junior in college. I'm in network marketing, and I that's what's going on right now.
Do you think this will continue to be something that you care about and work about?
Of course.
In your adult life?
Yeah, of course.
Something you'll champion the rest of your life, right?
Yes.
Anna, let me ask you, can you give the website to your association if people want to get involved, and how do you suggest they get involved?
Yes, it's www.napab, N as in national, A, P as in people, A, B as in bullying, napab.org. And, you know, please, any donations of any kind, even $1, $5, anything will help. And we also need therapists. We need business partners. That's all on the website. If they want to get involved, we absolutely need you.
And last question, and I'm sorry for asking this. How will you spend the anniversary of his death coming in May?
Every year in May, we have had a memorial for him, and it's always been on the green belt where the boys, Brendan and Daniel and his friends, would play football. And we've had different, we've had dove releases, balloon releases, and we really don't know what we're going to do this year, but we will do something.
All right. Very good. Thank you all for coming in. I really appreciate you spending time with us, and I'm sorry to even kind of relive this whole tragedy, but... you're championing the cause, and I got to believe that this last hour has helped some people out there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Okay, this is The Friendship Show. You've been listening to KX93.5 FM. You want to take us out of here with some music, April or Megan, whoever's on it?
Step one, you say we need to talk. He walks, you say sit down, it's just a talk. He smiles politely back at you. You stare politely right on through. Some sort of window to your right. As he goes left and you stay right.
Been listening to The Friendship Show on KX93.5 FM. Join us every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for great conversation, great music, and the chance to make great new friends. The Friendship Show on KX93.5 Laguna's only FM.